Aller Anfang ist schwer. As we say in German. Every beginning is difficult, as it could be translated. I even saw it rendered as the first is the worst. The original quote stems from the Roman poet Publius Ovidius Naso, also known as Ovid, who lived from 43 BC to 17 or 18 AD. This saying is used to describe the fact that many new situations or challenges can be very hard to deal with in the beginning. They can be overwhelming at times, and it takes much effort to make progress in a certain task one has no experience in. A little child makes his or her first steps, but then falls down. Well, every beginning is difficult. If we have a closer look at this principle, we can also describe it as every beginning is small. As the Roman philosopher Cicero put it, the beginnings of all things are small. But is this concept found in God's word, the Bible? It sure is. I suppose we are all familiar with the parable of the mustard seed, but let's look at it again. So if you may, please turn with me to Matthew 13 and verse 31. Matthew 13, beginning in verse 31. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it grows, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches." Christ is here talking about the kingdom of God, the God family ruling on and over this earth. Imagine for a moment how it will be like in the millennium. Imagine the time after the great white throne judgment when billions of people who lived throughout the centuries will be God beings, members of God's family. But look where it all started. In Old Testament times, only a few people were called to do a job for God in this life and qualify for God's kingdom. Even today, we are still a small flock compared to the rest of the world God has not yet called. Even in the millennium, the God family will still be small compared to how big it will be after the great white throne judgment period that follows the millennium. At this point in time, all people who have ever lived prior to Christ's second coming will get their chance to qualify for God's kingdom. And most will succeed in doing so. God's kingdom starts small, but it grows big. Imagine also in what a terrible condition this world will be at Christ's return. It will be a nuclear wasteland with almost no life in it. But God's family will help cleaning up this mess and rebuilding this earth, so that life will prosper better than ever before. We will build a new world then. But to be part of this glorious task, we first have to rebuild ourselves today. Figuratively speaking, we are a nuclear wasteland with almost no life in it when God is calling us. We were all living in sin, going the way of self-destruction, the way of death, the way of the God of the world, of this world, Satan, the devil, as we read in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. God admonishes us to come out of Babylon. We are to come out of the slavery of sin and stay out of it. We are to become slaves of God's righteousness. And the good news is, we absolutely can. But we have to acknowledge and understand that we are starting small, which is the title of my sermonette today, Starting Small. starting small. We see small things everywhere in God's creation and also in the things we create. For example, when we start building a house, we start by organizing all the material we need in order to build a house. We then start with the foundation, then lay down the first row of bricks, and so on and so forth. Physical life in general starts as a small seed. Plants, animals, and human beings. We find different phases or periods in their growing processes. After conception, we grow in the womb of our mother until we are ready to be born as a baby. We then grow into a little child. We become an adolescent around the time puberty begins, and we finally reach adulthood. Each time period brings forth certain new situations or challenges, ideally to stimulate further growth, physically and mentally. When we are baptized and receive God's Holy Spirit, we become begotten children of God. We only receive a small portion of it, though. A little seed is planted. This portion or seed then has to grow into a plant that then bears fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, as we read in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. We are to grow in the grace and the knowledge of God to a point where we can be born into the kingdom of God. But today, the law of sin, the law of sin, as Paul put it in Romans chapter 7, verses 23 to 25, is still there, and it will be as long as we are human beings. It is in our flesh. Our weaknesses, our character flaws, they are still there. Yet, there is a new law that is to become more and more a part of ourselves, and that is to rule over the law of sin in our flesh. The spiritual law of God, which is a reflection of His character. Since we are to become God beings in His family, we have to build godly character today. We are to take on the new man, become a new creation, as we read, for example, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15, and also in Colossians chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. We have to become doers of the word, as we read in James chapter 1, verse 22. This takes effort on our part. It takes effort to overcome sin. We identify sin in our lives. We pray about it. We try to overcome. And still, we fail from time to time. Thoughts of discouragement can creep in if we keep struggling to overcome a certain issue. But these thoughts, these emotions, they do not come from God. They come from our own human nature and Satan, the devil. He is the one who wants to discourage us so that we may give up God's way of life and don't reach our potential. However, we are to focus on and implement the thoughts that come from God, which should always encourage us to keep going on His path of life, no matter what situation we might be in. God's word is full of encouragement, and we read many encouraging scriptures so far during this feast, but let's look at some more. So if you may, please turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. Reading 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The German Schlachter Bible reads here, but that everybody has room for repentance. God knows it takes time. And so we have to learn that it takes time to grow, to reach certain goals in our physical lives as well as in our spiritual lives. Let's also look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. Reading 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. God equips us with everything we need to succeed. But we still have to ask for it. We still have to desire it and then put into use what God is giving us. God knows our struggles to achieve perfection and has great compassion for us. Jesus Christ himself became a human being and lived in this flesh. He knows what we are going through. He knows us better than we know ourselves. God loves us and has absolute faith in us that we will make it into his kingdom. God has patience with us and he is always willing to forgive us as long as we are willing to repent, change our ways, and start to come out of sin. Imagine you are the parent of a little boy or a little girl, let's say 2 years old. Is there anything this child could say or do that you would and could not forgive him? How much more is God willing to forgive us? Let's also look at a scripture in Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 8. Turning to Jeremiah 33, reading verse 8. God is here talking about the houses of Judah and Israel at the start of the millennium. But since we are spiritual Israelites today, God is also talking to us individually. I will cleanse them from all their iniquity by which they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities by which they have sinned and by which they have transgressed against me. Of course, God's patience will have an end if he sees that we are absolutely not willing to repent of sin, whatever it might be. God's grace can never be misused as a free ticket to sin, as Paul is describing in Romans chapter 6. Sin has automatic consequences and produces pain, suffering, and ultimately eternal death if continued and not repented of. We harm ourselves and others with every sin we commit. But we have to learn to forgive ourselves, to be patient, to persevere. For a righteous man may fall 7 times and rise again. You already heard that one, but you find it in Proverbs chapter 24, and verse 16. And if you may recall, we also heard about perseverance, which is the 6th law of success, as described by Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong. There's nothing too big of a sin that we could not repent of. There's no problem too big to overcome it. Let's turn to Matthew 17 and verse 20. If you may, turning to Matthew 17, reading verse 20. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Again, Christ is mentioning the mustard seed. Our faith starts small. The faith of Jesus Christ and God the Father, the faith they have, is without limits. But in the beginning, they only share a small portion with us, expecting that we will use it so that more can be added. And it can grow in us to a point where we are overcoming whatever we need to overcome, because God's faith and overcoming this world go hand in hand. The Apostle Paul had this kind of faith, as we read in Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 to 6. So if you may turn there, reading Philippians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. When we are starting to follow God's calling, we are starting small, as babes in the faith, with little strength. But God is always there for us, and he cares for us, doing everything in his power to reach his goal, having you and me in his family. Let's make sure we are doing everything in our power to make this our primary goal and take the necessary steps to reach it. God is there to lead us, to nourish us, until we are ready to be born into his family. We can do it. God will do it.